Greetings in the Lord. It is the 27th day of July in the year of our Lord 2020. You've been listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 through 26. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. We all have heard this account before, but let me refresh you. Sodom and Gomorrah were exceedingly wicked. They were prideful, idolaters, sexually immoral. Therefore, God destroyed them. His judgment was terrifying, holy, and good. The angels pulled Lot, his wife, and his daughters out as the fire rained down. Lot and his family knew how wicked the city was. The New Testament says that Lot's soul was oppressed by the sensual conduct of the unrighteousness in that city. Lot and his family knew the city deserved God's wrath. They knew that God had spared them from the sin and the judgment of the city. Yet Lot's wife looked back. Genesis doesn't say why she looked back, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, speaking of the judgment coming upon Jerusalem in Luke 17, said, "Remember Lot's wife." He warned the people not to be concerned with their worldly goods, but to flee the wrath of God. This clues us in on Lot's wife's reason for looking back. She was looking back at the things she was leaving behind. She still had a love of the world in her heart. She still desired the possessions of Sodom. And therefore, the love of the world destroyed her. Now, there are lots of ways to apply this passage as a warning to ourselves. And in particular, we have been talking the last few times on the issue of modesty and clothing, and I want to apply it here, in particular to those young women in their teens and 20s who grew up in Christian homes. Many of you have grown up homeschooled or private schooled and have been brought to church since you were in diapers. Your parents have done what they can to give you the gospel and to protect you from wicked influences. Praise God for that. They've taught you that God will judge the wicked and preserve his people. They've entrusted you with great truths. You need to remember Lot's wife. You're going to be tempted to despise your upbringing. Even though you knew the world will be judged by Christ, you're going to be tempted to want to be like the world. That means you're going to be tempted to model yourself after the way the young women dress and act today. You'll be tempted to want to be desired by the world more than to be pleasing to God. You'll be tempted to think you've been sheltered and despise it. You will see how many women expose themselves on Instagram in provocative clothing, excess in makeup, and get all kinds of young men to leave them compliments, and you will be tempted to be just like them. Even though you know what God's word says about how women are to dress and act, you'll be tempted to look back in longing at the world, desiring to be just like it. Remember Lot's wife. True modesty longs for the approval of your Father in heaven, rather than the praises of this world. Our culture is on a fast track to the judgment of God. Why, young ladies, would you look longingly at the world desiring its approval? Why would you want to look like this culture which is hell-bent on destroying itself? How can looking cute on Instagram compare to the treasure of having the Heavenly Father find you chaste, find you quiet and gentle, and finding all of that to be precious? Sodom has nothing to offer. Stop looking to model yourself after it. Remember Lot's wife. Now, brothers, this instruction is also for you. Stop looking at things you ought not to. Stop turning back to sin that you know will destroy you. Stop it. Remember Lot's wife. Now, there are many times when we have looked back and God has spared us. He has been very merciful to us. We need to confess our sins to Him. So as we come before his throne today to receive instruction and lift up his name and lift up our petitions to him, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you. If you dealt with us as we deserve, we've sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Brothers, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Therefore, beseech him to grant you true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that the things that we do now may please him, and that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers, examine your consciences then, to know whether you truly repent of your sins and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips and our mouth will show forth thy praise. Open our hearts, open our minds, that as we hear your word, we may hear it with joy, we may receive it in faith, and we may live it out in obedience. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 109. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. For the choir director, a psalm of David. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They've spoken against me with a lying tongue. They've also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appointed wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth. Because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man, and the despondent in heart, to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, and it entered into his body like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as the garment with which he covers himself, and for a belt with which he constantly girds himself. Let this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But you, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for your name's sake. Because your loving kindness is good, deliver me. For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Help me, O Lord my God, save me according to your loving kindness, and let them know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servant shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. This is the word of God, and we give praise to him. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Dear brothers, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12 through chapter 13. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Then Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have listened to your voice and all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now, here is the king walking before you, but I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my youth even to this day. Here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you." They said, "You've not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand." He said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and is anointed as witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron who brought your fathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, but now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around, so that you lived in security. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' although the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen, who you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and listen to his voice, and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king." Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Now Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of which 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, while 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin. But he sent away the rest of the people, each to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear!" All Israel heard the news that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become odious to the Philistines. The people were then summoned to Saul at Gilgal. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people like the sand which is on the seashore in abundance. And they came up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were hard-pressed, then the people hid themselves in caves and thickets and cliffs and cellars and in pits. Also some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people following him trembled. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as a ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. Now Saul and his son Jonathan and the people who were present with him were staying in Geba of Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash. And the raiders came from the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned toward Ophrah, to the land of Shul. Another company turned toward Beth Horon, and another company turned toward the border which overlooks the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines, each to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his hoe. The charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to fix the hoes. So it came about on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear was found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, for they were found with Saul and his son Jonathan. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Brothers, the Apostle Paul gave thanks for those who received the word of God, saying, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from the book of John, chapter 7, verse 31 through 53. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. But many of the crowd believed in him, and they were saying, "When the Christ comes, he will not perform more signs than those which this man has, will he?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to seize him. Therefore Jesus said, "For a little while longer I am with you, then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and will not find me, and where I am you cannot come." The Jews then said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? He's not intending to go to this dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, is he? What is this statement that he said, 'You will seek me and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some of the people, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, "This certainly is the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Christ." Still others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not going to come from the Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." The Pharisees then answered them, "You've not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd which does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he who came to him before, being one of them, said to them, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he's doing, does it?" They answered him, "You're not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." Everyone went to his home. This is the word of the Lord, and we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget of our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verses 21 through 27. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and each is tested by the praise according him. Though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk, enough for your food, for the food of your household and the sustenance for your matings. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. Father, we come to you asking your forgiveness of sins and in particular, the sin of unbelief. But when we look around and we see the things happening in our land, we are tempted to believe that things are out of control, that you're not listening, that you're not paying attention. Lord, we do plead with you. God, our land needs repentance. Our churches need repentance. We need wisdom. Lord, we need you to help us through this crucible. Lord, let us not be like the fool who gets pounded on, goes through the test, and comes out still foolish. Rather, make us wise. Help us to know the condition of our flocks, to be careful about our homes, our families, those you put under our charge, to check in on them often, to see how their hearts are, to see their conditions, where we need to work and where we need to labor. Lord, I pray that you would guard us who have authority, that we would not let our flocks diminish. Be with fathers, that they would be careful with their children, not assuming their children are just doing fine, that everything is just being taken in by osmosis, but rather let us be those who preach your word to our children, who speak your word to our children, who reach their hearts, to long for their hearts. Lord, I pray that you grow households. Grow the household of faith. Grow your kingdom, as you taught us to pray. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.